Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Crypto Sparta podcast. I'm Daniel, and I'm here with Brian and our guest, Ben. And so we're just going to start right off, as we usually do, with where the markets are today.
Yeah, so definitely we had that pullback that we kind of talked about 2 weeks ago or a week or so ago, where Ethereum, you know, dropped from, you know, that 4,000 down to 3,100, and now it's back at like 3,400 right now. And then Bitcoin, you know, was at 50K, dropped down to 45, you know, and then now it's back up to 47.8 or 47,800. And so, I don't know, people say that we're like in this, you know, bull market right now, but it definitely doesn't feel like it as far as...
would say that there are winners and losers, and I'm just checking right now, it's down 4%, but AVAX is at 68.
Yeah.
I did not notice. Yeah. I'm finally above water.
You're up.
I'm up after I bought $60 AVAX. Months ago, yeah, at the highest point basically possible, and now it's back to all-time highs. So there are some things that are breaking all-time highs, there are some things that aren't moving, there are some that went up and went back down, like ETH isn't at all-time highs.
Yeah, there's not that, like, you know,
everything
coin finder. You can't find that like new project and then, you know, get it 5x quick.
Apparently ETH, according to Cointelegraph, is painting the cup and handle for all you folks out there.
Oh, yeah. Your Cointelegraph is like, nerds.
I feel like Cointelegraph
the
is
cup and the handle.
Most, like, normie, like, I don't know. They're good, but, like, everything they say, I'm like, well, that's, like, they're the news when people say sell the news. Because, like, everything they say, I'm like, well, these are, like, really broad public predictions that aren't really, like, ahead of the curve. And it's weird. All the financial institutions have crazy high targets for Ethereum. I saw like last week I talked about this. They target
like 26,000, like 34,000.
Yeah, and like they don't get crypto.
Has there been a bot yet where somebody has created a search query on Google and taken the first result and that suggestion and done the opposite of that? Is that a valid trading strategy?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of people who counter trade KSI.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. And there are people that do bots where you can create bots to counter trade specific people.
Yeah.
And that's like the whole thing with like the bots and the manipulation in like Ethereum, where like, I mean, it's crazy how they make bots for like NFTs as well, like auto bid bots.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I mean, counter trading KSI, like I still follow his tweets and I like his song, Beerus. I listen to it in Tokyo.
I don't even know what he's a YouTuber,
rapper. He fought Logan Paul, one of the few to beat up one of those guys. And he lost like 7 million.
He does a Twitch stream. Yeah. And so, you know, back when it crashed in May.
He just destroyed himself and lost like millions of dollars.
There was like a, you know, a tweet or like a clip where he was just screaming every single red candle.
Yeah.
And that was like consecutive. And it was just a Twitch stream of him screaming.
Yeah. I mean, he's a funny guy. I believe though that he was the one... Ben, I was showing you those DGen apes. I think he has the record for highest sale on Solana. And then the DGen ape he sold. It's one of the really interesting things that's developing with like NFTs, where since it's like a verifiable way of seeing who owned it, certain like collections or certain people purchasing certain, or like certain NFTs that were owned by certain people, like the profile picture penguin for Elmo, like that penguin is worth more than the other penguins. And then the KSI DGen ape is worth more than the other apes, or the Loom Dart honorary NFT or the base card.
Yeah, now
NFT.
The honorary NFTs of a collection are like more personalized, like one-on-one.
Yeah.
For like a Twitter influencer.
And it's like, but like also it's like, I think that there was like the, there are certain celebrities. The other person, I think it was so random. Steve Harvey.
Oh yeah, he had
has that, a DJ yeah. ape, I think, or he has yeah, like not a DJ
ape. It's the like pixelated ape form.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but.
And apparently now it's just like an incredibly valuable
Soul Monkeys. I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of like celebrity houses where you know, houses in Hollywood become more valuable.
Yeah.
Who lived in them?
Celebrity.
It's like then, the rich inner circle of rich people.
Yeah.
You know, that's like basically the art world.
Like I was at this NFT party in LA a couple months ago, and it was the NFT party. It was at P. Diddy's old mansion. It's like, no, it wasn't just a dope mansion in the hills.
It was
P. Diddy's old.
Yeah.
Mansion in the hills, which made the party
kind
of dope to talk about.
Yeah. No, I went to the a wedding where they had stayed the people getting married were in the Justin Bieber suite where Justin Bieber stays.
Yeah.
I mean, celebrity and then everything. I know it's just. I mean, we've already got into a really abstract concept of like ownership and then like communities and then influencers. And then the value of an influencer creating value for the community
by joining the community.
Yeah.
Because
no, when Steph Curry got a penguin, it's like, oh
yeah. Like now there's some validity to our cause or like our community. Like we have some legitimacy.
Well, if you have a CryptoPunk, you like I've heard that there are secret like CryptoPunk parties and Discords.
I'm sure.
And those are probably the market makers. You know what I mean? Like,
well, there's all these like art deals. Like, how are you going to get a Fidenza now? You got to go through a broker.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are like certain people that talk to, and then they're like, there are those big buys where it's like, this one sold for a ton. It's like, thanks, blah, 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 for putting me in touch with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Is there like a Fidenza Eyes Wide Shut party somewhere?
There's going to be some weird NFT parties, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, or like some kind of mass party.
Well, that was what the Fluffs were supposed to be, right? The Fluffs were supposed to be, they were like rabbits that like got you into like music and like metaverse.
Oh like, yeah, because like Steve Aoki or something.
Yeah, yeah, they were going to do like digital NFT avatar concerts only. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how like celebrities now are like gaining into like the NFT space. Like we were talking about this one collection that, you know, our fellow Crypto Spartan, you know, got into called like Sneaky Vampires. And, you know, just like your run of mill PFP project or profile picture. But it's like, you know, for a vampire. And it's like has these different kind of traits similar to any other PFP project. And our buddy heard it from another buddy. And he said the artist was the same artist who did Bored Ape Yacht Club. And that art. And so it's like, oh, that might be a good project to get in on. And so he was able to get in. And now when he first minted or when they first did the reveal, like the floor was like 0.88. And then now that you're getting all these like Twitter influencers, their honorary, like Sneaky Vampire, like Gainsy and like Keyboard Monkey, who are like big NFT players and Twitter, you know, influencers, like that floor has now risen to like 2.5.
Is it at 2.5? We can check right now. I mean, I'll sure you got your computer, but
yeah.
Yeah, basically he minted for 0.06 plus the gas fees, got six of them, and now they're worth 2.35 the last time I checked. And so, and then probably one or more might be worth more than the others. I think they're not all floor vampires. I think you said one has some rarity.
Right now, so the floor is at 2.2.
So the floor is at 2.2.
Let's say like two, round number, 2.2. Just to do math.
I mean, the bats are coming. The girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is coming.
So right now they're all male. Vampires in the like similar to like Bored Apes or you know the Pudgy Penguins. They're gonna have like an airdrop for you know Sneaky Vampire holders that are it's like a female version, and then you can like mate different kinds.
I'm just saying, vampires don't sleep on the floor; they sleep underground.
Ah,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. They go into bats and they fly, so that's higher. That's higher above ground. Yeah. If we're talking metaphors,
but I mean, regardless, we were just talking about how these
depending on the time of day.
Yeah, depending on the time of day.
These projects just have these roadmaps, and like it feels like to be a credible NFT project, you have to have influencers, honoraries, you have to have a roadmap, you have to have a Discord. I don't know. It's just interesting. But I was thinking then maybe we could like, there were two topics that are kind of tied together that are still similar, where we can talk about the OpenSea insider trading and then also Gensler, because it's kind of tied.
Yeah, regulation is, you know, there's a lot of talk in the news with regulation. And there's a big story that happened this week with OpenSea, where their head of product, Nate Chastain, he had like the, since he's, you know, head of product, he knows what's getting posted on their front page. OpenSea and those generally, since they're the first page of the OpenSea, you know, site, they get the most traction. And so there's a lot of volume or action on those. And so he would get like the insider list of what pieces would be listed on the front page. He bought those NFTs. And then once they were listed, he would sell them for like a huge profit. And somebody actually like tracked his wallet and realized, you know, that this was happening and how much money he ended up making. He only made like 13 ETH off of it. But, you know, this goes to question where, you know, there's not a lot of insider trading rules. Like, did he do a shitty thing? Yes, he did a very shitty thing, like unethical thing. But did he do a legal thing? No, he didn't. He didn't get an illegal. He's not going to jail. He just lost his job.
Yeah, and he probably made a shit ton of money already.
13 ETH is what they made.
13?
Yeah, it's not that much. No. But I'm sure it was like a bigger, you know, initial part of his scheme, like he's just starting.
Do you guys understand how they actually tracked it to his wallet? Have you guys read much into that? Because what I find interesting is, okay, maybe insider trading isn't illegal on Bitcoin, or if you're in this case, obviously, but you know, the fact that some just random Twitter dude was able to track him down.
They're Uniswap detectives.
If you insider trade on the stock market,
no, yeah,
nobody's gonna catch you unless it's like the SEC.
People are track the transactions. Like, people are wallet whores. Like, you know, like they'll track your wallet, or like, I mean,
how do they link it to you?
I mean, since they knew his profile, his initial, like, you know, OpenSea wallet,
maybe posted and then noticed somewhere.
Yeah, well, he had this his main account wallet, and then he had all these like secret wallets, and like people like notice. Like that activity, like abnormal activity that, you know, this guy is constantly selling the same thing. You know, there's a lot of transfers, but he's making like small amounts of money or like higher increase of money. So they just like tied it back and, you know, they, you know, found out there's a pattern. And so like that begs the question, like this was found on Twitter basically with like our own, like from the community that are like good Twitter sleuths. Like, and then that forced OpenSea to, you know, take action. But it's like, that's the beauty of crypto. Everything is transparent. So it's like, do they need to be protected? Like, I don't know.
But it seems like if you were smart, it seems like this guy kind of messed up a little bit.
He definitely did.
Because if you were smart,
no, yeah,
you would just feed the information to your friend random, and there would be no way to trace, right?
Yeah.
As long as they pull it out to fiat and then give you some money.
Yeah.
One of the things, this guy was probably very sloppy.
Well, the thing is that how, you know how like every crime movie starts off with where it's like they do it for a while and then they get sloppy. You know, they cut corners and they're not as careful as they once were. And so I think he realized like how easy this was. And since he was like, you know, head of product, like he oversaw that action. Like he was like the top, you know, he had control over what was listed on the front page. So he realized how like easy it was to like, you know, game the system, so to speak. And then, you know, took advantage of it. I think he got sloppy after a while. But like, yeah, like you said, like you just gotta, sometimes you gotta be patient, or like you gotta do the work required. You can't cut corners.
So we've cut in a couple different videos over our podcasts of like people, and I'm gonna do that
anyway. Yeah, do one. The
so this is kind of relevant, and then I don't know, fan hasn't heard of it, but
is that the NFT one or yeah, the one or
what was the hall monitors?
Yeah, are you doing the hall monitor one, or are you gonna do the NFT one?
If you can find the hall monitor one,
yeah, I'll do that.
I mean, basically it's weird because you can track people's wallets, and this goes back to what I had talked about, like the value of having someone own it, where people know Steph Curry's wallet.
Yeah.
People know Visa's wallet.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain CryptoPunk and a Bored Ape that correspond to them. And you can see what else is in there. And then, like, that's what, like, the memes we talked about last week, where it's like, oh, I sold my NFT, and you smile, and then it's like, oh, it's a keyboard monkey, and then you just, like, frown.
It's like, dang, he knows something I
do. Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, it's more valuable. It's going to be more valuable.
Did you find that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Annie Milonakis had a little Twitter rant about, you know, people tracking his wallet, and I think it's pretty funny.
If you're spending your time, bruh, these fucking people, man, there are these fucking idiots out there that are watching like sales lists and wallets activity and shit. And like, if I slang a couple things like quick because I want to buy something, they're like on it. They're like fucking mall cops. Oh my god, you're pathetic paper hands.
Paper hands.
I saw you sell that lazy lion for way under floor, man. What are you doing in this space? You're pathetic, you paper hands. Bro, if you're spending your time watching the buy and sell habits of another person... That, like, it's a bad enough to degen all day and, like, look at NFTs and buy and sell NFTs all day. But if you're actually sitting there watching the activity of another person, that is, like, degen squared, man. You gotta get a fucking life, man. My God, what a pathetic paper hands. What the fuck? You fall that for under, that's under floor price. Fucking. Mall cops, you cyber mall cop dorks, get a fucking life.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's no, like watching your porn history. Yeah, yeah. Like
keyboard monkey, it wasn't him that had said it, but it was,
yeah, actually, like if your browsing history was public,
it was milkman that had been like, I can't see a lie there. And I like saw some other people on Twitter do like go outside and touch grass. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, the memes are true. And I got to wonder with you guys, and I actually am curious to hear what your answers are, is like the breakdown of like who the other people that are doing these activities are. Like, there have to be some basement dwellers. Like,
like no disrespect, like some autistic people.
There definitely are like
that are like, into numbers and like into address tracking. Like, you got to be a savant at, like, you know, just your eyes are going red. I mean, like bloodshot.
It's weird because like we had our experience meeting someone in person that we knew from the internet.
Yeah,
and I can only imagine behind these cartoon avatars there must be some. It was interesting. I still keep going back to Keyboard Monkey. That was crazy to hear him being like, yeah, I was in like options and like I was like going pretty degen and pretty leveraged in New York and like, you know, living. And then he's like, I was down to my last quarter million.
Yeah.
So it's like, who, that guy is like, you can't tell who you're really dealing with.
It's funny. The most eye popping thing of that, like background was that he was like working for an options company. And it's like, oh, I was performing poorly at work. They told me the shit that I was doing was way too risky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like not aligned with like the company.
Like Bill Wong, like 5x leverage, just like liquidations. Oh my gosh. That stuff really just gives me the heebie jeebies. I forgot which chart it was, where there was a scam wick, and it was just like, there was like, it's crazy to think that there are people out there and counter traders where it's like, okay, he's got a 10x leveraged long.
I'm gonna fuck him up.
So we need to move the market down to just target this one individual person.
He fucked my wife.
10. Yeah. Justin's son.
Justin's son.
You're going down.
He fucked my wife. We know, like, he's close to this liquidation.
No, maybe we could pull it back then to, like, Gensler, and, like, we just were watching Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, talk about, you know, regulations and Gensler. And he kind of had the impression that, like, yeah, market manipulation is a problem in crypto. And, I mean, it's, we were looking at other charts the other day, too, where it's, like, straight lines up and down, where there's, like, two people that have money in a project, and then they just try to, like, move the market so people think they get rich. And you can just see, like, one or two people pulling out more than half of the coins in, like, a day.
And yeah.
Putting it back in, like.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, yeah, we need regulation, but we also shouldn't be taxed for airdrops.
Yeah. No, and like, some of the airdrops didn't even hit. The DYDX stuff didn't even hit.
Yeah. And so that's what a lot of, like, memes are going from, where it's, like, you have, like, Elizabeth Warren or, yeah, like, yeah, you know, Gary Gensler, like, protecting, like, yeah, a small child and, like, taking all the bullets and, like, going full, like, you know, Christ, Jesus on a cross, like, protecting the, and it's, like, the caption is, like, protecting, you know, you from $70,000
right income. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like
protecting you from my financial freedom,
like, yeah. Yeah, Mark Cuban got rugged once, and now he's like
for regulations,
and now he's all for regulation stuff. How insane how we can't have autonomous smart contracts, because, you know, they want to put, they want to label, put someone liable if something wrong happens,
yeah,
which, like, defeats the whole purpose of anonymous smart contracts. Yeah.
But I mean, there are still the people who are, like, bullish, where they're just like, people that are smart are going to program these things so that you can avoid these regulations. But then, I mean, not financial advice, not, yeah, not legal advice,
not legal advice, not financial advice. But like
the whole platform allows, for, theoretically,
yeah, yeah.
I know it's people.
No, there's a lot of
people like this OpenSea are screwing up and doing things that obviously make sense to them, but, you know, nobody knows who Satoshi is. You know?
Yeah,
yeah. I think
he did it right. He did it right.
I know that's the idea, but like
the, you know, the obnoxious concept
long term should be able to be, I feel like, figured out how to create anonymity in this decentralized system. It's something that I feel like will eventually be perfected.
Well, there's a certain amount of KYC that I'm okay with, and there's a certain amount of giving government data, but the issue is that they make it so hard for the people in crypto. They screw people over with taxes, and they don't make it clear.
Yeah.
They flip-flop, and they don't go about it in a... They're not... They have honorary intentions, and then the stuff that they actually do just screws people.
Yeah, so I think last week... I try to touch on this, but, like, you know, Louis Armstrong, guy from Coinbase, had this whole thread about SEC regulation, how they're trying to work with SEC, but they're not getting clear answers. And, you know, now that they're like trying to might plan to sue them if they do their lending product, which is basically, you know, APY for holding your coin, similar to, you know, Celsius or, you know, any other interest building wallet, Gemini. And so, yeah, he kind of tweeted this whole, put all the drama in the air and trying to rally crypto Twitter, you know, to mobilize. And it's kind of like game theory that, like, you know, who's going to play chicken, who's going to comply. And so, yeah, this whole regulation thing is a whole lot of, you know, posturing, political theater, you know, trying to get what they want. But yeah, it's interesting, like, you know, Mark Cuban has you know, his thoughts, and people are having all these reactions to it. And then other people are, you know, taking sides, basically, when we're all on the same team.
I mean, I think that, like, Gensler had was supposed to be the promise of a more educated person coming in. And it still just doesn't seem like they have, and there's still stuff going through the house right now that's sketchy. The government, I just have no faith in.
Yeah.
Star of the Beast. Vote Libertarian. He's the guy with the shoe on his head and the toothbrush.
I don't know.
He's a clown. There's a Libertarian candidate. I don't know. I'm just joking around a bit, kind of, but I mean, I think that it's going to impact basically just the industry in America, because from what I see is that, like, people are going to be forced offshore for DeFi, for some of their projects. They're not going to want to be liable. And then some of those projects are going to be geofenced and unavailable to Americans, which is going to be a pity.
Yeah, that whole KYC stuff, like, FTX is great outside of the U.S. Like, people use it a lot outside the U.S.
Yeah.
But inside the U.S., it's so restrictive. Like,
you can't do, yeah.
Like, because of KYC and they're trying to comply. And it's just, like, I try to open an FTX account. I want to get FTT, the token.
Yeah.
Because I, like, believe in, like, SBF.
Yeah.
But... You know, I can't even buy FTT.
That was a funny series of abbreviations or of like acronyms, but
yeah.
You should just like
SBF and FTX. Yeah.
Yeah. Get some FTT on FTX.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
now that I'm talking. And
then
we can
wrap up with, we'll talk about Sol and then do the shills.
Yeah.
But maybe just explain what you just said.
Yeah. So SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried. Really smart guy, billionaire. He, you know, created this, you know, exchange called FTX. And, you know, they are just a monster. I think they're like similar to like a Facebook of the blockchain, like that kind of like disruption and, you know, that kind of like takeover magnitude of like, you know, social impact. And so he has this exchange, FTX, and now he's just buying all this advertisement, naming rights, like FTX TSM, which is like a competitive gaming league. You know, FTX is on the umpire's jerseys in the MLB for some random reason. FTX has the naming rights for like the Miami Stadium and then the Berkeley football stadium. So he just spends all this marketing dollars at, you know, just brute marketing, just getting the name FTX, making the household name, getting all these celebrities like Tom Brady had that commercial. Steph Curry is like their ambassador now. And so they're just putting a lot of marketing and just inflect or like just definitely just like infiltrating the like market where it's like they bought Blockfolio, they got NFL Brian's contracts. Here,
you know, there's a term that I was going to use, but it might be offensive. So I don't know. You're complimenting him very highly.
Yeah.
And then now we can move to the actual shit that happened. I mean, did you really explain Solana or
no,
Solana?
I didn't.
So Solana is like his own coin.
His main investor. Like he's a big investor into Solana.
And the Solana network is like one of the premier ETH killers that are supposed to be a different blockchain that is going to challenge Ethereum. And this past week, I mean, we had talked about Solana before.
It's been popping off like this past like month and a half. It was probably at start at 70, and now it's at like it was at like 216, and then now it dropped back down to 140, 150, and so that was kind of was the news.
I'll check it right now, but I thought it was back to
now it's at like 150, 160.
Yeah, I thought it was at like 165 last time I checked,
but like. This past week, it was like
166. I was up 13 today.
Yeah, so this past week, it was like a 140 after, you know, just going on a tear. And that's because, like, the Solana network, like, crashed.
And I don't know exactly. Ben, do you know how the crash went down? Or because it was like, apparently then the network crashed and you couldn't like move stuff on it. And then to get it restarted, you needed like 60% of the nodes to like approve a restart. And then it came out that it's like, there's like 11 main nodes that control all of Solana.
Yeah.
And it's like not decentralized at all.
Yeah. So yeah, there's issues. This is like their kind of first.
It's like a real fuck up.
Their first like major roadblock. Yeah. And so it's like Solana, they're human. Like the rest of the projects. Yeah. Like,
but I saw a lot of people buying the dip and like, we don't care.
Yeah. Like well, SPF.
Figure it out. I mean, yeah. The thing is, it's been designed to scale. Yeah, what is that now? So.
Well, the transactions are faster and cheaper than Ethereum. But now, I mean, there's also Arbitrum and like other L2s. I saw that Phantom. Did you see what Phantom is doing?
Uh-uh.
Phantom is going to do, and it's just a matter of time. There's going to be cross-chain NFTs.
I did hear something about that where it's like, it's like a bridge. So it's like, yeah, it's crazy. This, like, the innovation, the pace of it is just crazy. Where it's like all these new things that they're thinking of, bridging to different, like, layers. Like, they need a, like, overall tutorial or something. I'm still trying to catch up and,
it's almost like a problem where it's like, it almost sometimes is good to come in fresh and not have the baggage.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I got in really hard more after my MBA, after I had worked for a while. And then I probably, if I had not taken an MBA, been working and then making money, and then I probably would have been into it earlier. And then you're just like, there's so much going on constantly that if you were in it for like 5 years, you'd like,
you're like 20 years old. Yeah, yeah, you're like an ancient veteran. Like 2017 is like most of the OGs in the space. And that was like only 4 years ago. And like, this kind of reminds me of like the next, you know how like Fortnite came out and like everyone was trying to like, you know, pay to, you know, teach their kids how to be good at Fortnite. Like they would pay pros and there was like gaming scholarships to like, because you can earn money on Twitch. Like it's, if you're good enough, like, people are going to pay money to like trade good, you know, crypto.
Learn about crypto Sparta. We take money. If you want consulting education services, we accept fiat.
But
as
I'm
well
saying,
as crypto and NFTs.
That's
we
true.
We will take Bored Apes if you'd like to pay us on them.
Yeah. But the thing is that like, you know, that's just like, we do more consulting services. Like they're going to be like, you know, classes, scholarships are like,
well, I mean,
trying
kids are
to like
start
day
learning,
trade.
They're gonna start learning Solidity.
It's gonna be crazy. Like even Teen Executive is like, you know, ahead of the curve. Like
Solidity's garbage. They should learn Rust.
Yeah. I mean, they'll learn everything. They'll learn all of them. Yeah.
Well, what's your opinion on what's the Hoskinson language?
Haskell.
Oh, the functional stuff.
That's are you a Cardano person?
I'm not educated enough to speak on those matters, but I've heard good things about it.
But what is the difference in between like Rust, Solidity, and then maybe the other stuff?
How easy it is to fuck up.
Yeah.
Like mistakes?
I left a tweet the other day. I don't want to get back to, because I made this point on the last episode I visited on.
Oh, yeah, the errors.
I made this tweet the other day, and I'll say it here, which is that writing a program and expecting there not to be a bug is like walking outside in Minnesota summer at dusk and expecting not to get bit by a mosquito.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're expecting to get a mosquito, but
yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's really hard.
I think Rust, you're like indoors, and maybe with Haskell, you're like.
Well, that's the crazy thing is that like with the regulations, if they like hold people liable for blockchain errors
or running
then
nodes,
it's gonna screw the developers. Yeah.
Are just like running a node.
And then it's like, all right, well, we can't do this in America anymore, so we need to leave because we're gonna make a lot of money. I'm still upset. And I'm still gonna keep, let's just jump into the shills. I'm still upset that I didn't go in spring for a strong node a long time back.
Ohm too, apparently.
Ohm, I know. Ohm is popping too. Staking, it's the same people.
It's like 7,000 APY, like, you know, staking or something.
It's, yeah, insane where it's like, Ohm.
Yeah.
And then I would say also, I'll show AVAX. I'll give a lot of shows today because it's like, there's like this like choppy trading. And I'm like,
yeah, that's why
there's
I don't
choppy in the
like,
middle, but there's certain projects that are, that's what I'm saying. Is
it doesn't feel like March. It doesn't feel like March when I first entered where
it's like, okay, like, do I get a 2X or a 10X?
All right, well, you can find this like low market cap, you know, coin in like 2X. That's why I kind of like the shills.
RVP, from, Danny's RVP is popping.
The shills of when we is like first started the show is like kind of evolved into something different because we, because the market has kind of evolved to something where it's like there's not like this, you know, low market cap to find anymore. You know,
no,
there's not like it's this almost weekly like
the big,
coin.
It's like the big ETH killers are moving.
It's
and there's NFTs to like mint and make
it's
money
more of the projects like off the main chain, like are off the main projects, like Sol, like NFTs on Sol, like, you know, AVAX bridging, you know, Arbitrum.
What's that game on rarity on Phantom?
And then there's like Axies. You know, games off of Solana too. And then you have Axies, like you have Star Atlas, which is like coming off of Solana.
Yeah. Wow, all I was looking at some of the 3D parallel stuff too.
Yeah.
Wow, parallel is gonna be cool.
This market is totally mutated.
Yeah.
So our show,
I don't know. I'm kind of not that. I mean,
what are you gonna show, Ben? What should people put their money
it's
into?
It's not that hard to take a 3D model and put it in your space. I'm just saying. There's a lot of cool 3D models out there.
I think a lot of it is getting your attention.
But it's
market.
The art that they're doing.
Yeah.
They're doing the art with the game.
Has there ever been on Sketchfab? There's some very cool 3D models out there. I'm just saying. There's...
What is Sketchfab?
It's a site for... Not to go on a tangent, but it's a site for 3D models where you can sell crazy stuff.
Marketplace for 3D.
But the thing
models.
Is, making them games. That's the thing is you need to tie it together with games, because we're talking about like the play to earn games and then the NFT collectible
games.
Yeah,
just like farming.
Yeah.
Like DeFi is too complicated for normies to like figure out, like to get the yields. Like the good thing about NFTs is like it's simple. Like a normie can understand what like art, like what. Like something that looks good or not, because it's like objective.
Well, I mean, and the interesting thing, and I think we can use his name, but it was a noob, and he was like, "These are the first." And I mean, we'd say lucky, and it was like we're kind of saying we're a bit jealous.
Yeah.
But he was like, "Yeah, man, this is my first mint. I got these sneaky vampires for cheap, and now they're worth a lot." He spent like half an ETH. He's got like $50,000 worth of vampires now.
Yeah, it's like
he's like, this
stuff.
Is fun. This is kind of addicting.
Yeah,
and now it's like you.
Well,
realize,
and the
like,
market is inefficient too, where the multiples like it's easy to multiple faster because there's like there's no decimal place, you know, like buying a share or buying a coin. It's a fractionalized. A coin is NFT is not fractionalized, and it goes by, you know, larger decimal places.
Yeah, it just
so
chunks
it's like,
up. It just
it's like
up.
ETH. It's like 0.1 ETH. Like, it's not like, you
know. No, the mental thing, and that's what I was talking about with Anoop, was that
significant
it's like,
figures.
When you get around the one ETH floor, it's a psychological, like, barrier. And then there's a lot of people who do the rule of 100,
like that's
where when people hit 100, you just long 100, because once it's over 100, people are like, mentally, they're like, oh, it's over 1, it's over 100.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this is going to keep going.
How you rationalize.
It's an interesting strategy. And that's literally what I did with the Pudgy Penguins.
Yeah,
I saw mine at right below 1, and I'm like, "There's no way this doesn't go above 1."
And it'll
so
probably go to 2.
Yeah,
it'll
yep.
probably go to 2 yep. because, and that's a double right there. So it's yep. like,
now it's getting offers for 2.12 yesterday.
Yeah, so
but now it's 1.88 the floor of my offers. But it was interesting because Anoop said he minted, and then when it first came out, when the reveals happened,
it's
the
like
vampires 0.8. Were 0.88, and then they dipped to 0.73. But this is an interesting thing about NFTs where it's like there's like diamond hands and paper hands.
Yeah.
And there are some people where they just accumulate the vampires at the floor and they don't sell them. So you have this transfer like right away from the people taking quick wins.
Yeah.
and the people who are like accumulating for the long haul.
Yeah. There's a good mix, I would say, of like people who want to like, because there's a knowledge where it's like after reveal, the, you know, floor decreases slightly. So people will try to sell it before the reveal.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, short term value where it's like you could probably get more if you waited.
Excited for the Pudgy Print presence
reveal. Yeah, I'm trying to get a second one. I want to keep one and flip one. That's my
goal. And that was what some people would say as advice, is buy two NFTs because you're going to get attached to one of them.
Yeah.
I still haven't sold a single NFT.
I haven't sold with
Crypto BitLord.
I have like six. I
listed PFT one products. Parallel NFT card and the whole floor dropped. It's like, my listing price is like 5x of like what it costs now. Because it's one of like 3,000.
Yeah.
So there's just a consistent market of like, if you want this card, there are all the different sellers. And then my price is like the 200th or something. But no, Ben, what are your shills? And let's wrap it up. We got on a huge tangent. Usually we just shill a couple of things and then wrap it up.
Explain to me shills again. I'm sorry.
I'm shilling. You
know just what the shill is? Like, you know, what do you think will be big in the future?
Yeah, what do you pitch to people to sell?
Like if they want to enter into the space.
You got 1,000, 10,000, 15,000. Yeah. What are you telling them to put it into?
Now just plug in. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of very interesting NFT programs around charitable causes. I think that NFTs are, you know, a very interesting way to incentivize people to give money to causes they believe in.
Make a wish.
It can also maybe tie into tax potential. And, you know, I mean, I think that I've been getting a lot of just like random messages to my Instagram saying, yo, put money in my NFT. We're giving X percent to charitable causes. Some of them seem legit. Some of them seem like total scams. But I think that, I'm sorry, I don't have a coin to plug, but I would say that I think those types of ideas really have legs.
That's big brain thinking, because you're thinking next level, like trying to, what's the next, like, what's the next advantage that people are going to take advantage of the system? You know, like, you know, charitable causes as a tax write-off with NFTs. Like, the tax law is like, it's complicated, but like it, you know, has huge implications.
Well, it's gonna, and then that's the crazy thing is that
of how people manipulate
with wash sales and stuff and like moving money around, it's gonna get very messy. Yeah. And it has the potential to make it very easy to show losses on paper when you're sending NFTs for little or no money to other people. And
we're definitely at a tipping point where, you know, something has to give. One side or the other, like
the regulation is
it can't be dead.
Winter is coming.
Yeah.
Gensler is coming.
Winter is coming. The Night King. I don't know if people have seen Deadwood. Like, you can't be like a Deadwood where it's a lawless city. Like, it can't be the Wild Wild West like for so long. Pretty soon, the government comes in and establishes, you know, their whole over central arching laws and that you have to abide to.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be Deadwood forever. So that's a pondering question for next week, and we'll just leave it at there. I think that's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to
Nick.
Episode 21, Crypto Sparta podcast, dated September
18th. Thank you to the Crypto Sparta team in India for posting this. Please like, subscribe, go on all the platforms. We should be on YouTube and
Instagram for sure. That's definitely have gotten more activity as of late. So if you're on Instagram, follow Crypto Sparta LLC. Bye.
Bye.